from executive producer Jimmy Kimmel.
What's up, team? Just two people can't launch a brand. It takes a village.
We are MMD Hollywood.
Wowee.
Which stands for medical marijuana.
Due to restrictions, we can't tell you everything about our new reality series. But what we can say is the idea behind it is fully baked.
I don't know.
High hopes. Streaming 420 on Hulu.
It's playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing, and FanDuel is your place to bet on every game. Right now, new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. That's $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks, all on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. What are you waiting for? Visit FanDuel.com/sportsfan and make your first bet an automatic win. FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook. Must be 21 plus and present in Ohio. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. A bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
This hour of the Annie Fry Show is sponsored by The Loading Dock, with a unique and beautiful ice skating rink to enjoy this time of year. Go to GraftonLoadingDock.com.
That is exactly what I needed to hear.
Thank God someone here knows what they're talking about.
That's us. That's right. Gotta love this American ride.
All right, you need to take the time and get the full picture.
I love the ladies. I mean, they rev my engine, but they don't belong in the newsroom. It is Anchor Man, not Anchor Lady.
What do you want from me? I'm not America, sweetheart.
Goodness sake, Beth. Keep your voice down. Your father's listening to the radio.
I'm not America, sweetheart.
This is the Annie Fry Show.
Yes, for now, yes.
Why is that?
Well, because we're able to, if people are vaccinated and wear their mask, there's no need for the lockdown.
That was it. That's all he's got. That's all our leader has. Oh, my gosh. I'm Heidi Harris, in for Annie Fry. Annie Fry's out today, but she will be back tomorrow, I promise. Brad's here, holding down the fort. Range Brad on Twitter. How you doing, Brad?
I'm doing well. How are you?
Doing well. And we're doing this video instead of doing it the YouTube page, which Annie Fry has, and normally she does it live on the YouTube page. We're doing it on my Facebook page, which is Heidi Harris Show. I know this is not the Heidi Harris Show. That's just the name of my page. Okay. So if you want to watch us do this on Facebook, Heidi Harris Show, you can see me and Smile and Brad. I've got my little Christmas decorations behind me in my little office here. How cool is that, huh? Trying to get festive. That's what I'm telling you. Anyway, so I had a great time on the show last night. Of course, I hope you were listening to my Sunday night show, 7 to 9 every Sunday night right here on 97.1 FM Talk. I had a doctor on talking about Omicron, and I'm going to post that up on my podcast, HeidiHarrisShow.com. You can check that out later today. Talked extensively about that. We will get to that coming up a little bit later in the show. They're trying to scare us back into our houses for another 6 months, but we're not going to let that happen. I want to start with this morning. Got a lot to talk about. But this one just killed me. I literally laughed out loud when I read this morning. Did you have a nice Thanksgiving, Brad? Family and everything?
I had a really good Thanksgiving. It was nice to see family that I haven't seen in a while and, just spend time. And actually, the food was really good.
Did you cook any of it?
I did not. It's probably best. If you hear the food was really good, it just means that I didn't cook any of it.
Yeah, that's what I tell people. I don't cook for people I like. That's the line that works for me because it's the truth. I've got nothing in me, none of that kind of stuff. I'll bring a bottle of wine, though, and I will help with dishes if you want me to. I love washing dishes, but I'm not cooking the bird. Anyway, you're going to love this one. We'll just start with this. Give everybody a good laugh for Thanksgiving. Dear Miss Manners, I spent 2 days cooking a flawless Thanksgiving dinner for my immediate family. And, due to COVID, I'm going to skip to the part that's important. She said it was just us, my partner's daughter, her family, and mother-in-law. That was it. The guests were assigned to bring something. Okay. After the meal was over, my partner's daughter got up from the table and opened a large backpack, which I had assumed was for the toddler's things. Oh, no. Guess what it was full of, Brad? It was full of food containers, empty food containers. I asked, oh, would you like some leftover? She said, yes, of course. Then she proceeded to take all the best cuts of the turkey, all the trimmings and side dishes, the stuffing that was in the bird, and even 90% of the leftover desserts.
I she you gotta admire it. She came in with a plan, right?
Oh, come on. Come on. You know what? It's one of those crazy things. You got to look at that and say, oh my gosh. Anyway. So yeah. What else can I say?
You know, I sit there and I think about that and like she said at the beginning of that letter, right, that she spent 2 days cooking this meal. Am I correct?
Yeah, 2 days cooking a meal. Right.
Why you prepared the food for the people you love. And so if they bring empty food containers looking for leftovers, then you happily give them the leftovers.
Okay. A few leftovers, but taking it like the Grinch showing up and throwing things in a bag from underneath the Christmas tree, that's a little much.
I'm all about that.
Okay. You know what? I remember years ago, I lived in an apartment that had an apricot tree in the backyard. Now, I didn't own it. Once again, apartment I rented. Big apricot tree. And a kid knocked on my door. I don't know. It was summertime, whenever they come out. And the kid shows up and he says, oh, you know, the landlord usually lets me eat the apricots. And I said, sure. I don't care. I don't need them. Go ahead. Knock yourself out. This kid shows up with a bag, like a trash bag. Gets up in the trees like the Grinch, pull it off. So I'm happy to share my apricots versus take everything that you can possibly grab, right? That's the point I was making anyway. But there's always someone being inappropriate during Thanksgiving.
Oh, always.
Yes, truly. Lots to get to today, including, I'm going to get this right. I wrote this down so I don't screw this up. Ghislaine, that's how you pronounce it, I guess, in French. I don't do French. Ghislaine. Trial begins today, and the trial won't begin today, but parts of it, then jury selection and whatnot, will begin today. I want to see her black book, don't you?
Yeah, I want to know who's all involved in that. That is something that is like, I don't even know what to make of the trial, but it's something that just piques my interest. I want to know.
Yes, it does. Now, Jesse Smollett, I'm not going to mention, I don't care about him at all. I don't care about the trial. I don't care about the story for 5 minutes I did 3 years ago. I don't care now. So I'm moving on from that. We're not talking about that. We will get to Omicron, the virus, interesting stuff. The Twitter CEO has now resigned, stepped down. And an interesting plan to get rid of Kamala Harris and how they plan to do it. So some people say. We'll get to all that coming up. Cyber Monday today here. You know, I'm kind of trying to figure out at this point. Trying to figure out with Cyber Monday, does it even have the effect it used to have? You know, there used to be Black Friday and people used to pay attention to that, right? I don't know, because there are so many sales and things like that. Does anybody really care at all?
I mean, I always care about sales. I like sales, but we were kind of talking about this off the air. It's almost like as soon as Thanksgiving happens, it doesn't matter where you go. You know, Cyber Monday is supposed to be online shopping, the online shopping version of Black Friday. And it seems to me like what ends up happening is that people, they just start advertising their sales and they start on Black Friday and they run all the way to Christmas. So it's not like this big, super happy day where you go, oh, if I don't get it today, I'm not going to get it.
Well, that's what it comes down to, isn't it? Because even home shopping channels have Black Friday prices for like 3 weeks. And I saw there were some stories, even in the St. Louis area, nobody was at Best Buy at 3 or 4 in the morning. I mean, I don't know who goes to Best Buy anymore, not putting them down in any way. But, you know, nowadays, you know what happened with Best Buy for a lot of years is people would go in there, have the Best Buy people patiently tell them about different brands. Then they go to Amazon and buy it. You know what I'm going to say.
Well, yeah, but right? I mean, like it was 30% cheaper to get it on Amazon.
Right, but they're not paying for the people to help you with the product. That's the difference. You almost feel bad about it, don't you?
In a way. I mean, I never really did that. To me, Best Buy has always been the, oh, no, I need it now, like right now. So I'm going to go get it at the store and bring it home because I need it right now. And I don't have, like, as fast as Amazon shipping is, they still don't have the drone that drops it off at my front door within 30 minutes of me ordering it, which is how long it takes me to get to Best Buy. So I just go to Best Buy and get it if I need it right now.
Well, Amazon used to be one of those two-day things where you could guarantee you'd have it in a day or two. Not necessarily anymore. Have you noticed that?
Yeah, I've noticed that. It's still pretty good. And, like, it was awesome. But, like, I think it started after COVID. They really started, you know, like, we're not going to promise. We're not going to guarantee the Prime shipping or anything
right.
like that.
Right. Exactly right. That's exactly what happened. It completely changed after that. And a lot of people said, and I ordered dog food from an online person. I'm not going to mention who. It took like 2 weeks to get it. And usually it took like 2 or 3 days, literally. And I called them. I said, hello. You know, where's my food? Had I been panicked and not been like sitting in some farm in the middle of nowhere, I'd have been in a big world of hurt. So it's, you know, one of the things that obviously has been affected by COVID. The supply chain, you go to stores, a lot of things you see aren't even there anymore. Some of the things aren't obviously there when it comes to Amazon too. Here's an interesting thing. Black Lives Matter apparently is attacking two of America's most revered holidays. They're accusing Americans of eating dry turkey and overcooked stuffing on stolen land. And that's, I guess, the hashtag stolen land. And they're complaining about Thanksgiving. Didn't Native Americans bring the first side dishes to Thanksgiving dinner? I'm just asking.
I don't know that positively, but to me, I was always taught that Thanksgiving was where Native Americans and the Pilgrims got together because they worked together to help the Pilgrims survive. And then the Pilgrims, you know, broke bread with them and they gave thanks for the help and then for God to provide for them. It was all about giving thanks. And now people are just angry all the time.
I know. That one tweet said, "This Thanksgiving, we send our deepest love to families whose loved ones were stolen by this is how they wrote, whose loved ones were stolen by state sanctioned violence and white supremacy." Okay, can we just all quit whining about being a conquered people? My people had it pretty rough in 1066. I'm just saying.
Who are you?
Is there anybody who's not conquered? You used to teach history. I want you to jump in on this, Brad, because everybody is a conquered people. Everyone.
Yeah, I mean, that's kind of human history in general. These people attack those people. And you know what they attacked people over? It was over land, because your land was better than my land, but my army was better than your army, so I'm going to go take your land so that I can provide for my people better than I could if I didn't. You know, it wasn't this, like, it was, it's nasty. People are nasty people. History isn't like sunshine and rainbows and all that other stuff. And it never taught history like that. You know, people are like, "Oh, they whitewash history." No, we didn't. We taught the bad stuff along with the good stuff. As a matter of fact, the bad stuff is what actually got the kids interested in history to begin with.
Absolutely. And I always loved history in high school. Loved it.
There is not a society on the face of this planet that didn't have some sort of horrible thing happen in their past, because people are people.
It's always about the land, the women, and the money. Always. I mean, always. Throughout human history. I'll tell you what's an interesting place to see how many times they've been conquered is there's a whole series I've seen on YouTube about Russia. And it's fascinating. Everybody from the Mongol hordes to this group to that group. I mean, how many times has that continent been completely taken over by somebody? And we in America forget, once we became a nation, we haven't had anybody take us over since we became a nation. I know it's only been a couple hundred years. I get that. But we forget how lucky we are. You look at most of Europe, you look at, like you said, most of the world, somebody has taken over, new governments come in, the country name has changed in some cases, the borders have changed in some cases. And, you know, I'm just so sick of the whining about it constantly, the cultural appropriation or some type of whining constantly about it.
Well, it's stuff that you can't do anything about, right? I can't go back in history and change what people did to other people. So all I can do then is make sure that I'm a good person toward the people that I run across and I meet on an everyday basis.
Right.
And if that isn't enough, I don't know what to tell you. I'm just out here trying to be the best person that I can be.
Yeah, that's all you can do. That's all you can do. And you want to focus on what happened in the past. It's kind of a waste of everybody's time, frankly. All right, coming up, we'll talk a little bit about, I'm going to get this right. I wrote it down so I wouldn't screw it up. Ghislaine Maxwell's trial begins. That'll be interesting. I'm sorry we can't see it. I don't want somebody's updates. I want to see what's happening. You know, we got to see the Ahmaud Arbery trial. We got to see Kyle Rittenhouse. I like to see every minute of it and come to my own conclusions. I mean, of course, you have to abide by what the jury says, but I want to hear what's said. I don't want some analyst to tell me what they think was said. I want to know, but unfortunately, we're not going to see that. All right, much more to talk about on The Annie Fry Show. I'm Heidi Harris in for Annie Fry.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing, and FanDuel is your place to bet on every game. Right now, new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. That's $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks, all on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. What are you waiting for? Visit FanDuel.com/sportsfan and make your first bet an automatic win. FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook.
Must be 21 plus and present in Ohio. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. A bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Heidi Harris in for Annie Fry. Annie will be back tomorrow, I promise. Glad you are here. Hope you had a great Thanksgiving. Hope you had a 4-day weekend. I know everybody did not. Some people did. Some people did not. I've certainly worked in jobs throughout my life where I did not get the holidays off, or I filled in for people on the holidays or whatever, but I'm hoping you had some extra time off to enjoy it with your family. You know, for a lot of people, this was the first time in close to 2 years they were able to do that. So it's kind of a big deal. All right, let's talk a little Ghislaine. Okay, I'm going to get that right now. I wrote it down. I guess it's Ghislaine, whatever, Maxwell is going to trial, finally. This woman's been rotting in a prison cell, or not even a jail cell, for a long time, which I don't feel sorry for her. I really don't. If convicted on all counts, she faces a maximum sentence of 70 years in prison. She's 59 years old. She's been jailed in Brooklyn since her arrest. She faces 6 counts of allegedly recruiting, grooming, and abusing 4 minor girls with Epstein. Anybody think it's only 4? Anybody want to raise your hand and say it's only 4? I don't think so. And here's the interesting thing. And there are some people who will say, I don't know any of these people, but some people will say, oh, she got caught up. She was trapped. You know, she didn't know what to do. She had to do what he wanted. He basically was like this Svengali over her, whatever it might be, right? But here's the problem. This is a girl who was raised in a wealthy home, who started cavorting with him and was flying all over the world. And, you know, she could have done whatever she wanted to. You can get away from people like that if you really want to. I mean, ultimately, it comes down to there are people who can't get away from abusers, whatever the situation may be. And then there are people who are into it. I mean, this woman, see, I'm not going to get into awful details about it. We know the situation. There are some legal scholars who have said the jurors might not like the fact that she was a woman helping to abuse young girls. That's absolutely right. There are women who do it all the time. And that doesn't go very well with a jury. Now, some people are arguing, well, they're going after her because Jeffrey Epstein killed himself, or maybe he didn't. Who knows? Who cares? I really don't know the truth on that. Nobody does. But I just want to see their black book. See, here's the thing about the situation. This is how these people get away with it. They have so much dirt on each other, right, that nobody will speak. I remember there was a movie years ago, I think it was Dragnet with Dan Aykroyd and somebody else many, many years ago. And there was a scene in this movie where they went, I'm just doing this from memory, so bear with me if I'm wrong about whose house it was, but they went to some judge's house or some elected official's house, you know, undercover, and everybody was dancing around in, you know, like the skins, like ram skins, you know what I'm talking about? Like if you're dancing around like a ram with the, you know what I'm talking about, Brad?
I think you've got the
horns on your head and you've got the sheep legs and you're dancing around.
Yeah,
whatever it might be, I know
what you're talking about.
Yeah. And the only reason I mention that is because there's a lot of stuff that goes on. I happen to know somebody in law enforcement who told me that he went to a house years ago in a city, and he went there for another reason. And he walks in, several cops walk in, and he said, you cannot believe the elected officials whose names I would know. And he did not tell me because he's not that guy. And I really didn't ask. I mean, part of me really wanted to know, but I didn't. He said, you can't believe all these elected officials who were running around naked or scantily clothed, and they all scattered like a bunch of cockroaches at 3 a.m. when you turn the light on in the kitchen. And it was so interesting because here these people are, very prominent people in town who were doing God knows what. I mean, guess what they were doing wasn't illegal, a bunch of consenting adults. But my point is, these people all have stuff on each other. That's why nobody talks. And years ago, I remember a situation where I worked. There was somebody involved with somebody else, and luckily I wasn't anywhere near that, but I heard about it. And, you know, they'd get each other involved in this, and it got very crazy, and I'm not going to give you details on it. But the point is, that's what they do. They suck you in. They find out, you know, something they can hold over your head, and then, of course, you're not going to talk. And that's the situation with Ghislaine. I'm sure she thought that if she, you know, spoke out or something or got away from Epstein, God knows what he would do to her. I'm not feeling sorry for her. Believe me, I'm not. Because you know, had to know what kind of a person he was ahead of time. Who was involved? Bill Clinton, Prince Andrew? We don't know. We know those people were in proximity of these girls. How far it went, we don't know. You want to believe Virginia when she talks about it? You really think Prince Andrew didn't put his hands on this beautiful girl? Do you see this girl when she was 17? So I don't know. It's going to be nuts. Some experts are saying that her defense attorneys are going to run into landmines with the jury if they attempt to paint her as a victim. Born in France, raised in luxury as the daughter of a media tycoon, Robert Maxwell, who died in mysterious circumstances in 1991. So once again, Ghislaine, after her father's death, she developed a persona in the British and American media as a wealthy socialite who built relationships with powerful men across the globe, in part because of her romantic involvement with Epstein, which at this point, if you knew his proclivities, whatever they were, we don't really know. That's when you back out and say, you know what? No, I don't want anything to do with this. Many people have. Many people have dated somebody or, you know, known somebody, and you go, oh, they're into that now. I'll just take a pass on that. But she didn't. She was up to her eyeballs in it. I'm trying to clean this up for the air. Aren't you proud of me, Brad, the job I'm doing this morning?
Doing a real good job, Heidi. Keep it up.
Because I don't want Annie Fry's audience to, you know, I'm not going to be tacky about it. But we all know what happened. Maxwell and Epstein were photographed with Prince Andrew, Bill Clinton, Donald Trump, numerous other businessmen, politicians, and media figures. Epstein's accuser, one of them, Virginia Giuffre, claims she was trafficked by Epstein. And once again, not going to get into the details on that kind of thing. But other legal experts are saying she's a socialite on steroids. She's an intelligent, mature, forceful woman flying around the world on private jets, staying in fancy hotels. I don't think the theory that she's being used is going to play well. I think that would insult the intelligence of the jury. Exactly. And what did she, remember she bought that multi-million dollar house and where was she hiding in Connecticut, right? Isn't that where they found her?
Was it Connecticut? I know it was somewhere on the East Coast.
Yeah, I thought it was Connecticut, but she had bought this multi-million dollar place and was hiding out there for what, a year and a half or something till they found her?
That's a terrible spot to hide though, right? You buy a multi, like that's not on anybody's radar. But you buy this multi-million dollar home and you're going to hide there? No, they knew where she was.
But she needs staff, my friend. This is a woman who needs staff even when she's on the run. That's the problem. You know, if it were me and I were on the run, I'd find some little studio place, somebody's guest house or something, and hide out in there and not have a staff. And then no one talks. But it's just, of course, she says she's innocent. She's been whining about the conditions that she's under. But now there are other folks who say, I love reading these. Mark Garagos, you know him, has been on multi-cable shows. He says she's in custody by all accounts in a deplorable situation. That could be mentally debilitating. I don't care. Here's me not caring, Mark. Here's me not caring. All right. Anyway. He says you're up against a very skilled prosecutor who slept in their own bed, who's well-fed, who got rest. On the stand, it's a mental jujitsu for the client. She's already, from a psychological and mental standpoint, at a disadvantage. I'm sorry. Am I supposed to care about that? I mean, this is just a lawyer, not trying to make us feel sorry for her, but talking about the legal aspects of this. Yeah, why aren't we seeing this? If I'm Giselle, I keep screwing it up. If I'm Ghislaine, you know what I do? I take everybody down with me. That's what I do. I remember there was this funny line years ago. Remember Don Imus, the great Don Imus? When Martha Stewart went to court, I remember before she went to the prisons, not a, you know, maximum security or anything, but before she was sentenced, she walks into court. She's got a $10,000 handbag. I don't know what it was, a Birkin bag or something. Don Imus had the greatest line. He was so funny anyway. He said, if I'm on the jury, you walk in with a $10,000 handbag, you're going to jail. Because there's no sympathy for these people. That's the problem. You're living a lifestyle. And that's what the prosecutor is going to say. you're traveling here and there on islands and private jets. You're doing this, you're doing that. You're taking advantage of these poor teenage girls who get flown to an island thinking it's going to be a modeling shoot or something. Once again, cleaning this up for the air. They think it's going to be some kind of legitimate job, or maybe they're going to get a job. I mean, how do you know? That's the problem. You don't have any way to know where you're going sometimes, especially if the people who went ahead of you aren't coming back to talk about it and warn you.
Well, you're talking about kids, children, right?
Teenage girls, yes.
Yeah. So, like, I worked in a school. I don't mean this as an insult to high school age students, but there's so much that they don't know, that they don't understand, that they don't realize. And it's stuff that only can come with age and wisdom.
That's right.
At that age, you just don't have it. And so, you know, they would find people in a vulnerable situation who fit a certain profile, and they would wrap them up and then take them away and promise them, like, you know, Ghislaine was talking about, you know, the island lifestyle, you know, millions of dollars. That is going to be very appealing to a young person who doesn't understand how they're going to be taken advantage of. And that's what they used.
Yeah, especially somebody like you're talking about who comes from a background where maybe they don't have parents watching what's going on. You know, they've either had some abuse in the background, or they just don't have parents paying attention. And there are parents who don't pay attention. And that's how you get these girls. I mean, parents who are watching closely, you have a much less chance of, you know, kidnapping a kid or having them disappear on some island and nobody complaining, you know, about it. But yeah, it's horrible. And there are a lot of people out there like that, or people who are looking for someone to care about them. That's why people join gangs a lot of times.
Yeah.
You know, gang members.
It provides that parental influence in their lives. And if you're a parent out there, one of the things I really want to stress to you is you are not supposed to be your child's friend. You're supposed to be your child's parent and parent them. Get involved in their life. It's okay to poke your nose into their business and see what they're up to, because you don't want something like this happening to your child.
That's right. And a lot of parents, you know, don't. And listen, I understand the technology moves very quickly. And the minute you get on, I almost feel like it's aerobics back in the day when people did aerobics. I guess they still do. But, you know, by the time they were doing one thing over your head, I was still doing the thing with my foot. I just could never catch up. Right. So now by the time I start doing a YouTube thing every day, everybody's on TikTok. I'm so behind. And if I were a parent, I mean, it's terrifying as a parent, because the kids, you know, listen, we all as teenagers hid things from our parents. There's nobody in the world who didn't do that, right? You think you're smarter than them. You think, you know, a boyfriend has never crawled through a window or hidden in the closet, or, you know, let's go down the list of things you think your parents don't know anything about, which of course they do, whatever the situation may be, right? And so now it's harder, because it used to be that the bad guy was outside the house. Nowadays, the bad guy's right here on your phone.
Yeah, you've got a portal into your house that allows people to come in and get to your children. So
that's correct. Your child can be sitting across from you at the dinner table in the living room and talking to somebody who's telling them who knows what. And you may not even know about it. And some of these things that, you know, the messages disappear right away and all of that. So it's terrible, because there's always a group of people out there who are very vulnerable. All teenagers are, but some are much more vulnerable than others. And parents, some are astute and some are not. And I get it. Listen, there's a lot of stuff I don't understand about the internet and things that the kids find ways around. So it's up to a parent to, you know, hire some geek to say, listen, I want to be in my child's business every minute.
Yeah. And set that precedent from a young age too. It's like, so you asked me earlier if I, you know, was a pet person. Well, yeah, I have a dog and I love my dog. But one of the things we did with our dog whenever he was a puppy was there was no area of that dog that we couldn't have dominion over. They said to train your dog like that when they're young. So, like, you know, you rub your fingers across the gums and grab his feet and all that other stuff. And then, like, when he's eating, take his food away, because that will prevent aggressive behavior, and it sets those boundaries. In the same way, when you're a parent, you know, set those boundaries and set those expectations when your child's young. It's going to be really hard. Like, if your child's 13, it's almost too late to do this. But, you know, set that expectation with your child when they're young, that there's no area of their life that you don't have a right to look into and see what's going on.
That's true. That's very true. And, you know, when it comes to authority in the household, if you're not the boss, your dog will become the boss. That's the problem. All they know is the pack leader. And it's the same with your teenagers. And you know, parents know, or they should know, that kids actually feel more secure in a situation, especially little tiny kids, where somebody's in charge. If there's no one in charge, you know, as far as what they eat, when they go to bed, all these different things, how much TV time they get, the phone, the this, the that, whatever it might be. If there's no one in charge, the child feels more insecure as a result of that. And once again, more vulnerable to being picked on or picked, I should say, picked out of a crowd or whatever by people like Ghislaine and Maxwell and Epstein and everybody else who was involved in this thing. I mean, that's a very, very sick group of people. And hopefully she'll be punished thoroughly. I'm hoping. I mean, you can't blame her for everything Jeffrey Epstein did, because, you know, you can't throw the book at her because you can't get him, but you can certainly hold her accountable for what she did. That's the important thing.
Absolutely.
And at the very least, and I'm using the right word here, I was going to say the P-I-M-P word. I'm not going to do that. She worked as a procurer for him. We certainly know that.
Yeah. Yeah.
She was a facilitator for his sick behavior. And that we know for sure. So hopefully she'll be punished. We'll see. I just want to watch the trial. I'd be so interested to see, especially, and you know, she's going to try to testify. You know she is. It's like the Travis McMichael thing, you know, with the Ahmaud Arbery case. He's the only one of the three who testified. He actually thought he was going to convince people that he had a legitimate reason to try to stop this guy. I mean, if you're that arrogant, you think that's the case. Same with Elizabeth, you know, what's her name, who's the Theranos trial. And unfortunately, we can't see that either. I would love to. She actually decided to testify because she fooled so many wealthy people into giving her money. She probably is arrogant enough to think, oh, this jury is going to be nothing compared to the millionaires I've bilked, right? But that's how people feel when they're arrogant enough to think they're smarter than everybody else in the room. And I bet you she would probably come out there and try to be a pathetic figure. Oh, I didn't do anything. Oh, this and that. My condition's in jail. I don't know what she'd try to say, but I wonder if she would actually testify. That would be interesting. But if it were me, I'd take everybody down with me. I'd be naming names. I'm not going to go alone, guys. That's not going to happen. Ugh, crazy story. I'm Heidi Harris, coming right back. This is the Annie Fry Show.
Follow Annie on Twitter at Annie Fry Show.
Cross my heart, I won't do it again. I tell myself, draw the line. Not do I do, but once in a while.
I'm Heidi Harris in for Annie Fry. She's taking an extra day off, but she'll be back tomorrow. I know y'all love her, and I love her too. But I'm happy to be filling in and having a lot of fun with Brad. We're talking about kids during the break and, you know, how much fun they are between birth and 13 and then 13 to 25. But you were saying that kids at that age are your favorites because you were a former teacher.
Former teacher and youth minister. So I taught junior high up through high school, and like, the interaction that you get with kids that age is just super awesome. Not that I don't like younger kids, but I like the,
because
they're starting to develop that, you know, stage in their life.
Yeah. God bless you, because that's a tough stage. And it's sometimes it's better if you're not their parent, because you get to be the one to, and they'll talk to you about things they won't talk to their parents about sometimes.
Yeah, absolutely. And then the hard part then is knowing when to, like, this is something I really need to share with your parents. And I'm upfront with the kids whenever I talk to them. If they have an issue,
right,
it's like, this is something that I need to share with your parents because this is a big deal and they need to be aware of it. But
right. Absolutely. That is important. All right, I got to tell you a funny story. So a couple of, we're going to get to the Omicron, I promise. Next hour, we'll talk about that. Everybody should panic, stay in their house another 2 years because Omicron is here. All right, we'll get to all that, the crazy stuff. And the plan to possibly scuttle Kamala Harris, which is kind of interesting. You know, they're freaking out about that. So we'll get to all that next hour. So a couple of weeks ago, I went to a reptile show and I got myself a little crawdad, a little blue crawdad. Which, by the way, if you're really bored, you can check out Instagram Heidi Hair Show and you'll see the little blue crawdad. It's real cute. So total impulse buy, you know, it's like $12 for this little guy. So I thought, oh, cute. I've had snakes in the past. I don't anymore. I didn't want to get back into that, get a tank and go through all that, feed them live things. I did all that for years. I don't want to do it anymore. So I went with my friend's kid who loves bugs and we went to the show. So I walk out with this crawdad. What am I going to do with this crawdad? Okay, well, first, you know, you're thinking you can keep them in a tank like you can a betta, you know, because bettas are from the rice paddies of Thailand, all right? So you can keep them in a tank without a filter as long as you keep the water clean. They're different. They're just different than angel fish and other kinds of fish. So I get this guy. First, I bring him home. Then I realize he's going to need some kind of aeration. Then I put him in another tank, and I have to drive across town to get one off Facebook Marketplace, a bigger tank. This is all for this little credit. Then I get another tank. I'm leaving a lot of stuff out. Then I get another tank. And the last time I had aquatic pets, which has been decades, even though I still had a filter in the garage and stuff, I haven't had them in many, 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 many years. So back when I did it, I don't remember anything about cycling a tank, right? Getting it ready with the so you have the biological thing in there so it all works. So the nitrites and the nitrates and the ammonia and all this stuff is all working, and you have to have this biological whatever. I didn't know any, none of this. So the other night, I'm looking at this crawdad because he's in the kitchen. I'm looking at him. He's leaning over. It looks like he's sleeping upside down. Oh, he's going to die. Oh, my gosh. You see my husband and I panicking, pulling all the water out of the tank as much as we could, changing it out. I'm all freaked out. What's going to happen to him? Oh, no. I'm all worried, praying, let him live till tomorrow. So I go to a fish store, and the kid was so sweet. He actually tested my water the next day. And he said, my nitrites, which I wasn't even aware of. Sorry, but I think I never took chemistry in college. Biology, but not chemistry. So I'm thinking, my nitrates, you got this, you got that, depends on whatever. So they give me some, test my water, and I had to go buy some other things. I've got something else on order from Amazon today to put in the tank that I couldn't get at the store. So, you know, it's just one of those things where it's like getting a free puppy. Mm-hmm. You know, somebody goes, hey, free puppy, free kitten.
The pet itself is free, but not all the stuff that comes with it.
Exactly. Then you're in $100 really quickly. But it was really nice because my husband is so sweet. He actually cared about this. And my attitude about it is, okay, is it important in the scheme of the universe, a little crawdad? It is to me, because when you have a pet, you take on that responsibility. You do the best you can for them. And if he's going to die, he might die, but he won't die because of something I've done wrong. That's what I'm hoping doesn't happen. And I don't think it will, because for the first couple of weeks, he did really well. I don't know if you've ever seen a crawdad molt. Have you ever seen that molting process?
I've never seen it happen, but I kind of know what's going on there, where they shed their shell.
Right. I happened to catch it. I happened to be in the kitchen when he started to do it. And I'm like, oh my gosh, oh, this is what it is. And I got it on video and I put it on, I think it's on Instagram. If not, it's on my Heidi Harris Show Facebook page. But when I looked at this, and I know you'll understand this, Brad, because you're a Christian, I watched this little guy molt and I went, this is an amazing piece of work that God has done in creation. Mm-hmm. Because this little thing just turns over on his back and the entire shell, he kind of wiggles his way away from it. So, you know, you got the butterflies that do the same thing, and kind of not the same, but, you know, kind of. But you watch this little animal shake out of his shell and everything is renewed. Mm-hmm. Like if he lost a claw last time, that's renewed. If they lost one of their antenna, that's renewed. The legs, they have a million legs under there doing all kinds of things. I'm discovering now that I have this little guy. It's fascinating to watch them. But all of that is renewed when they molt. And it is such, I think it's a miracle of God's creation to watch it. I really do. It's fascinating to see it because you are renewed like we are when we become Christians.
Yeah, that's incredibly fascinating. Now I want to see what happens whenever a crawdad molts.
It's hard to catch them in the act, but yeah, it's just very cool because it really is. You look at the creation, you think, wow, how did God do this? God designed this to work this way. It's such an amazing thing. It really truly is.
Well, and not only did he design it, he came up with the concept of it, right? Out of nowhere.
Right.
That was his concept for how, you know, crawdads would grow, and, you know, instead of having an inner skeleton, they have an exoskeleton. So they would have to outgrow their exoskeleton and you know, grow a new one, essentially.
Right. It's pretty fascinating to watch the entire process. So, but you know, what's nice is that I've got a husband who's got such a tender heart that he really cares about something even as small as this. You know, I never thought I'd get into having something like this. I didn't realize it was going to be this much work. But once you get the water, I guess, the way you want it to be, then it's all right. I'm literally in the kitchen with a test tube yesterday doing the test kit with the nitrites and testing for ammonia and all this kind of. I'm thinking, wait a minute. I did not get this thing to be a chemistry major. have to watch it.
Is it because it's tap water and then you have to make the tap water match their natural water?
Well, you do the tap water and then you put a conditioner in, obviously, that takes the chlorine and that kind of stuff out of it. Mm-hmm. But then when there's food in there, there's waste in there. And even though I've got a filter and I pick up the extra food and I try not to overfeed them, it forms ammonia, which forms this, which forms that. I'm still trying to figure this out. There's like a little...
Okay.
Arrow thing, the nitrites and the nitrates and the this and that and the other. And then there's a filter now. People are using the ones with the sponge on them.
Okay.
So I was taking the sponge out every once in a while and washing it in the kitchen sink. And the kid at the fish store says, no, don't do that, because that's got all the healthy bacteria on it.
Oh.
I've done everything wrong. It's a miracle this thing's alive. This was this complicated. And you get on Google and you get on the message boards and you do this and you do that. And there are so many, God bless it. You know, back when I had all these creatures years ago, you had books and I had a lot of books, snake books and dog books and books about various little creatures. You go get the book if something was wrong. Now you Google it. And then the interesting thing about Google is you get 42 different opinions on this. The pH has to be this. No, it can be higher. Oh, you have to do this. Oh, you got to have a water heater. No, you don't. So that's another whole problem. When you get into the Google world of trying to look up anything with some kind of animal, you never know what's really going to happen.
Yeah. But isn't that one of the like great things about the internet? You know, I go through life, you know, and people complain about the internet. Like you go on Twitter and you're like, oh my gosh, this is just people fighting all the time. But every yeah. now and then you find that one video of somebody doing something funny or amazing or whatever. And you're like, this is really what the internet was invented for. And like, if you have a simple set of tools and YouTube, you can fix almost anything because somebody's fixed it, filmed themselves doing it, explained it, and put it on YouTube.
That's
fascinating.
That's true. My husband is a handyman, and my husband has the ability to fix almost anything in the world. He just has the ability to look at something that he's never seen before. And I don't have that. I mean, everybody's natural talents, right? That's his. And even he will once in a while look on YouTube if it's something he hasn't done before. He'll go, oh, but see, I could watch that video 50 times and still not be able to fix it. But he can because he has the innate knowledge and the talent to take that ability, you know, take what he's seeing and apply it to that situation, right? And so, yeah, you're right. There are people who are so quick to give back by posting videos online of what they've done. That's really important. Yeah.
I had to do a video blog when I was in college, and one of the things that I did was I replaced the RAM on my laptop, and I found the video online, and that's how I was able to replace it in mine. But then I made my own video, and that was my assignment, but that's up on my YouTube page, and that was one of the very first videos I've ever posted on YouTube.
Yeah, it's good to do that. I have a little piece of equipment when I do interviews from the house, when people call in and I do it that way and I can record them and run them on there later on the podcast or whatever. And it's called the JK Audio Broadcast Host. And when I first got this thing, somehow I couldn't get it to work. I had an audio engineer from one of the biggest shows in Vegas come to my house and he still couldn't get it to work. Nobody could. So I was so frustrated when I finally got it to work. I did a little YouTube video. I mean, triple bonehead. Plug this in here, plug that in there. Do this, do this, do this. I took pictures of it, you know, the way the cords go in. So if you move or something like that and you lose them. I mean, and I had people say, thank you. You are a queen for doing this.
Yeah, it just helps.
Yes, because nobody, I didn't see anybody, maybe somebody's done it, and I'm not saying I'm the only one, but I couldn't find anybody who put it out there, the information that you need. So God bless these people who take the time to explain anything, how to take care of animals, how to take, you know, fix a car, fix a sink, fix a toilet, you know, fix a pet, do audio, whatever. God bless these people. So I agree with you, Brad. That's what's good about the internet, is all the sharing of knowledge that you we never had before. All right, coming up, here's what's bad about the internet. Omicron, we're all going to die. We're going to talk about that coming up next on The Annie Fry Show. I'm Heidi Harris in for Annie Fry. She will be back tomorrow, I promise. This is 97.1 FM Talk.
I guess I could try hypnotherapy.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
From executive producer Jimmy Kimmel.
What's up, team? Just two people can't launch a brand. It takes a village.
We are MMD Hollywood.
Wowee.
Which stands for medical marijuana.
Due to restrictions, we can't tell you everything about our new reality series. But what we can say is the idea behind it is fully baked.
I don't know.
High Hopes. Streaming 420 on Hulu.
It's playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing, and FanDuel is your place to bet on every game. Right now, new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. That's $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks, all on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. What are you waiting for? Visit FanDuel.com/sportsfan and make your first bet an automatic win. FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook.
Must be 21 plus and present in Ohio. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. A bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.